Okay.
To get ready for Shavuos, I thought for the next 2 weeks we'd speak about themes of Kabbalah Tzad Torah and how it relates to marriage. And I'm learning Kiddushin in the morning, so the first, one of the most important Rambams in Kiddushin really mentions Har Sinai, and there is definitely a connection between marriage and Har Sinai. Many connections, but I want to build off of this Rambam. The Rambam here says something very, very interesting. It says, the Rambam is a halacha sefer. The Rambam traditionally tells you the Mishnah Torah, what is the halacha, etc. But here, the Rambam begins with a very interesting formulation about how Kiddushin works. He says, Kodum Matan Torah, prior to Matan Torah, Hayadu Pogei Isha Bashuk. A guy would run into a woman in the Shuk, Imratahu Vihi, if he and she both want, Lisa Osa, Imratahu Vihi Lisa Osa, let's say he wants to marry, what does he do? Machvisa L'Sok Pei, so he brings her to his house, Ubalala, Beino L'Bein Atzmo, he has relations between him and her, V'tiel Elisha, saves a lot of money for your chasine, you don't have to pay for anything, you bring her home, try it. It doesn't say here that the Pei Mechutanim have to get together and have a long, elaborate discussion as to how they should pay for the flowers or any of that stuff. Very simple. You run into each other, you have some sort of proposal, you bring her home, you marry. All is good in the world. That would save a ton of money and a lot of free time. You wouldn't be going to chasanas all nights of the year. 40 chasanas I average a year, so that would free up 40 nights. I'm sure I'd find something else to keep busy with. So the Rambam then continues, came in Shanos in the Torah. After the Torah was given, it's Tavu Yisrael. Yisrael was commanded, She'en Yirtzah Ish Lisah Ish. If the man wants to marry a woman, what must he do? Yikna Oso Tchila B'fnei Edim. He has to have some sort of kinyan in front of witnesses. V'achar Kach, and afterwards Tiel Elisha. Then he becomes his wife. She'en Amar Koshet Pasik. Ki Yikach Yisha Uba Aleha. Because when a man takes a woman and brings her home. And then the next Rambam continues with the Likuchen Eilu Mitzvah Saseh, and this Likuchen is the Mitzvah Saseh, Ubechad Mishlosh Dvarim Eilu Ha'isha Nichnas, and there's three ways of doing it, Kesser Shtar B, etc., etc. And the Rambam continues. But it's very, very interesting the way the Rambam formulates this particular Mitzvah. Instead of just saying, starting with Lacha Beis, that there are three ways of doing Kiddushin, Kesser Shtar B, the Rambam gives us a whole introduction about how marriage was originally, versus marriage post Har Sinai. Before Kabbalah Sator, this is what marriage was. After Kabbalah Sator, this is how you do marriage. So what's going on? Why does the Rambam share with us this? So there are many different answers given. The famous answer given is that he's showing us the difference between marriage being non-ceremonial prior to Har Sinai, and after Har Sinai we were given mitzvahs and formulas and structures, and this is highlighting that. But I would like to suggest something that may or may not be the truth, but it's definitely true. Meaning, it might not be what the Rambam intended, but it's definitely a true idea. I think it could be like this. The ultimate marriage, the ultimate relationship, if you will, is the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's a great love story. When David HaMelech wanted to articulate the great love story of a husband and wife, really it's representing the love story of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the chasana between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The chuppah. The chuppah was the Har Kigigis of Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out and put it over our head. And many people say that exactly was the chuppah that represents the marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the paradigm of what a marriage is. So maybe what the Rambam is suggesting in a convoluted way is that prior to Har Sinai there was marriage. It was a marriage and it was good. But they didn't know what the ultimate marriage was. After Har Sinai, that's a mashal, that's a lesson as to what a real marriage is supposed to look like. What's a real relationship supposed to look like between a husband and wife? That's what's going on. After that, now marriage has a fundamental change. We have a paradigm to look at to see what is a marriage. And what is a marriage? That's what happens between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Where? What we're going to celebrate next week, Shavuot Amir Hashem, as there is a relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Klal Yisrael as his beloved, hopefully forever. I think that's what could be the Rambam is suggesting. But what is the lesson? And this is why it's going to be a two-part series. We're going to do one tonight and the Mir Tishem one next Thursday night. What is it that we want to see through the eyes of this relationship between the Kodesh Baruch and Klal Yisrael that we're supposed to emulate? So I want to share a maral. One of my favorite marals. I found this maral years and years and years ago when I was up late learning Shavuot, and he had a very beautiful piece on the following. There are two well-known Uncle Moshe songs. And yet, for some reason, kids don't ask this question. I think I've given 7 answers to this question. I have another share where I explained this question, spoke it out. But really, everybody knows two stories which directly contradict each other. Story number one, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give you the Torah. He went to them, and they said no. To the other nations, they said no. But he went to us. What did we say? Nasa v'nishma. We're going to do, and we're going to listen. Great. What happens next? Says, later on the page, the same page, Pesach and Shabbos, says, Ve'yis yaseiv tachta sahar. We were sitting underneath the mountain. Kofen lehar kegigas Kadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain, put it over our head, and forced it, and said, either accept the Torah or what? Sham tehei kurasam. There you're going to be buried. So it's a kasha. On the one hand, we said, Nasa v'nishma, we're going to accept the Torah. We did it willingly. Great. On the other hand, it says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us. We had no choice but to accept the Torah. So which one is it? So there's a number of answers given. I think there are about 7 or 8 that I've seen. But I want to share with you tonight the morale. And I'll explain the following. And this is one of the most important lessons of marriage that's lost on society today. What the morale explains is the following. Nasa v'nishma is terrific. Clearly we said Nasa v'nishma will say the Torah. But what does Nasa v'nishma imply? Nasa v'nishma implies we actually really had a choice. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked us, yeah, nish. We want the Torah, great. We didn't want the Torah, don't take it. Which sounds beautiful. But that's how they'll give a choice. The story of Kofel Harki Gigas is telling us you had really, even though you chose to take it, you had no choice but to accept it. Because if we wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the whole thing would have gone to pot, the whole world would have exploded. We all know that without moments of Torah learning, the world wouldn't have existed. The whole reason why the world exists is Torah learning. And it was hechrich, it was forced. So therefore what? We accepted it. But even though we accepted it, it wasn't really a choice, because had we not accepted it, the whole world would have exploded and then we would have been, would have died. Right? This is what the Tiferet Yisrael says in Perek Lamed Beis. But then the Maral concedes, and this is the point I want to get. It says, Aval Masha Kaplim Har. But the fact that we were forced apart, it says, he quotes the following Medrash. We shouldn't say we accepted it willingly. We didn't want, we wouldn't accept the Torah. That's not the greatness of the Torah. The whole world is hanging on it. If it wasn't for the Torah, the whole world would have gone and gone. And then he continues. He says the following. I went too early. He says, V'yesh lomar gamke. This is why he forced us. Why? We can never say, we had a choice and we can nullify it. From your own will you accepted it. And since you accepted it willingly, you could absolve yourself from this. Therefore accepted, forced us. Why? To quote the Medrash. The Lot Yelisha. What's the halacha he compares it to in the Medrash? The halacha of, if a man, God forbid, is ma'anis a woman, rapes a woman, what's the halacha? Again, trying to explain it based on today's societal norms is very difficult. But in the olden days, what happens if a man raped a woman? He had to marry her, and not only did he have to marry her, what? Lo yuchol shalcha kol gomav, he can never divorce her. Because Shemal Kodesh Baruch Hu came to give us the Torah in Har Sinai. You'd be forced to accept it as if it was a mountain overhead. Shikablu Torah, so we should accept the Torah. The Kevin Shechasa Yisrael, and who saw social Kodesh Baruch. Because of that, we are the, for lack of a better word, the rapees of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And by us it says, V'lo siel isha lo yuchol l'shafol kuyom, he can never divorce us. V'lo kein eif v'fat, it wouldn't be like this by somebody who was seduced. Only when it comes to onus. Because onus means lo yuchol l'shalcha, it can never, ever end. And when it came time, the Rishayim came, they wanted to say, at the time of Yecheskel, the Maral quotes, Yecheskel, Perichov, then Adam Cohen, they came and they said, listen, a Kohen, the person Eved, could the Eved eat from the Truma? Yeah. But let's say he goes and sells the Eved to a Yid, to a non-Kohen. Does he leave the possession of the Kohen? Yeah. So too, we're going to leave the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Very nice, he owned us. But now we're moving on to something else. Not Seven Ishma. Now we're moving on. Chesko says back, Ha'ola al Rochachem, Hayalo tiyachaya ninum Hashem, im lo biyad chazaka, he didn't take you strongly, ubechama with anger shlucha, em lo chaleim. He ruled over you, not by your choice, by his choice. And since it was the Kodesh Baruch Hu's choice to rule over us, therefore what? There's no room for divorce. Meaning, what's the lesson the Maral is trying to tell us about the relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? All the chips are in. There's no way out. There is a level of commitment there that no matter what one party does to the other one, which goes as far as serving a Chet HaEgel, which goes as far as any other in the world, nevertheless, the union between those two is so steadfast, it can never be broken. That's what Kofel Arkegigis is articulating. Not the Vidishma can't. Not the Vidishma comes from our Ratzon. We want it. We want it. We have it. We don't want it. We don't have to have it. Kofel Arkegigis. It's forced upon you. There's no ever divorcing. And you want to walk away? You can't. Neither party can walk away. V'lo tia li'isha. You're kind of sucked in, and therefore it has to happen forever. This is the exact opposite of all societal norms today. I can give you example after example as to why marriages fall apart, but many of the reason is because of the remote control theory. You know, what I mean by that? When I was a kid growing up and would watch television, we used to do something crazy. We used to watch commercials. Right? Why? Because the TV was on one side of the room, we were on the other side of the room, and if you wanted to change the channel, it meant getting up and turning a dial. That's why a channel. It was, you know, you have to move the dial. Today, what do you have to do? You're sitting on your couch, you know, you take your remote and you flip the channel. It's not difficult to change something. The commitment towards the channel you are watching is irrelevant. I mean, that was an old muscle. Today, you're watching a YouTube video or whatever you're watching, and to go from one to the next takes 10 seconds. You go to a website, you're not committing to it. There's a great book that I once saw called The Shallows about how the human brain has changed and we're no longer, there's no depth anymore because we never stay committed to one thing. We're always shifting from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. I just want to share with you some of these lines. There's a great little perspective that came out, something called Cloud Perspective. It came out in 2012. And they put it out because of all the problems in Shalom Bayis. So I found it. So he quotes something called the micro, you know, this guy who wrote a sefer. I don't know if it ever came out, but they said in 2012 it was going to come out. Maybe I should have looked it up today. But this seems like a very interesting idea that they were putting together a book from broken glass after the glass was broken, meaning after the chasm, and why there's so many problems in divorce. So he quotes here something called the microwave. What's the microwave problem? He says, in the olden days when I was a child, right, what did you have to do? When I came up, true to me, when I came up from school, my mother heated up food for me. It'd take an hour and a minute. It'd take an hour and 20 minutes or so. It took a long time because it was a process. So you had to commit to something. But now you put in the microwave, bam, it's ready in a minute, 2 minutes. Right? My in-laws, they didn't have a microwave for years. So like every time it was other, you went to dinner, you had to, like, it was a whole process. You had to heat it up in the oven, et cetera. By then, you start liking warm food. Right? Because you used the microwave. So the whole idea of a microwave is there's no more any working through process because the microwave just does it for you. So he looked at me right. He goes, my spouse disappointed me, angered me, or God forbid, delayed my gratification. That's it. Out with the old and with the new. I just changed the channel. He writes here, and he's referencing something called the shallows. He writes, our brains have actually been rewired to expect instant comfort. The thought of not having everything we want immediately has become unbearable. Parents, grandparents, they repaired. So what do? We don't repair. You know what we do? You go to Amazon.com, you click, and you get something new. We don't repair, we replace. The whole nature. You know, there's no such thing anymore. I couldn't believe this. I heard it this past Shabbos. I was talking to Rafal Willick. He told me his father's minig is the following. He has his chasana suit. He wears it every year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Commit to an article of clothing? What are we? Today, I gained a pound. Time. Could we buy a new? That's the refrain today. It's not, could we fix? The default is, could we buy new? So when you have a default of, could we buy new, there's no longer any commitment to anything. So you know what commitment, marriage becomes very difficult. Har Sinai is showing us, this is forever. This is permanent. This is not like a trial run. He quotes some unbelievable things in here. I couldn't believe what I saw. I could have spent the whole day reading this. It was Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll talk a little bit more about this. I didn't know this existed. But he quotes here from the need for premarital education, right? So he writes like this. He writes...
What wasn't required before Har Sinai?
What's that?
Wasn't required
before. What was it?
Premarital.
No, because what happened? Because those are premarital. I finished, right? And probably... The same way you divorce is the same way you get married.
Walk away.
Just walk away. What's marriage? There's no ceremony. I mean, the ceremony tells us it is forever. So, I forget where I wanted a quote from. Here, page 3, Chabad, microwave effect, out with the with the no, marriage is a free trial. So he says, like this. He quotes somebody who says that when they had trouble early in the marriage, they immediately were trying to get divorced instead of going for therapy. They go, why? It's like a trial. Our notion, and when you see other people getting divorced, you're like, okay, marriage isn't for the long term anymore. Marriage is like the trial. That's why more than 50% of people get divorced, because there's no commitment to the commitment. It's not just true in Chazal. It's true in, I did one quick Google search today about commitment, right? So I'll read to you from Inside UVA Online. This is some sociologist. They said the following. The level of husband's emotional engagement is the key to wife's happiness in marriage. Not money, not the division of household chores, but what women want is somebody who shares a strong commitment to lifelong marriage. The highest level, that means the highest level of marital happiness. So he writes like this, commitment also matters. Listen to this. Women who share with their husbands a strong commitment to lifelong marriage, who for instance think that marriage is a lifetime relationship and should never be ended under extreme circumstances, are much more likely to report that they're happy in their marriages and they're happy with affection. Shared commitment seems to generate mutual trust and higher level of emotional investment of the part of the husband. Both factors grow marital happiness amongst women. Another website. Again, that was some survey done. But he says like this. He says, listen to this. His commitment is important because they act differently. This is the most you said, right? Could you imagine if you had an out clause in your marriage? Like, God forbid, let's say, can you see this? A woman gets sick. Why would the husband stay with the woman? I can get better. Commitment is important because we act differently. We know that our futures are tied together. You may avoid a prickly, imagine, if you don't have commitment, you can avoid a prickly conversation. You know the person will not be around forever. You may move on to another love. Your current one is a debilitating accident or simply starts to rub you the wrong way. Commitment, and this is the line that I saw that I was very excited about. This is a great line. Commitment is a choice to give up choices. Meaning, lo yichol l'shalcha. When God, kiviyachol, kafal harkei gigas and raped us, he no longer has the ability to choose to divorce us. Commitment is the choice to give up the choice. Although this might, at first sound limiting, it's actually the greatest freedom in death. And I'll give you a great example in a moment. No longer does the committed person need to weigh which person or way of life will bring more happiness. Right? Once you pick, that's it. Once committed, all one's energy goes into making the commitment work. No longer the other possibility is the distraction. The two major stages of commitment are making the initial commitment and then keeping the commitment. I got to tell you, the hardest thing for me to do about preparing a shiur is picking what the shiur is about. Once I know what the shiur is and I'm in, then I just got to find the courage to put it together. But what are people going to be interested in? Right? Just saying it. Marriage, the hardest thing is I mean, being married is hard, and staying married is you got to work at it. But the hardest, once you find that person, now it's a different avoda. Very often young men come to me and say, you know, their troubles in as they're working on getting engaged, etc. But the challenge is very different. When you're picking a wife, you're very selfish. You're looking to see who's going to mashlim you. But once you get engaged, you're no longer anymore looking about that. You're looking to see what can make it work. It's a very different avoda, and that's the shift that's got to happen. Kodesh Baruch and Klal Yisrael made this arrangement together, however it worked, whether it was not finished, Mekafel Harkei Gigas, but then it was all in after that. There no longer was any choice as to how it was going to work. And again, I found this guy, I don't know, but he's got a blog on Torah Halacha, and he writes black and white. He writes, overriding all this is one thing. Does the couple have the right attitude about marriage? Because every problem could be solved if the couple has the right attitude about marriage. Namely, the couple committed to marriage. Is the couple committed to their children? Or do they feel that the marriage and children must step aside for the personal happiness of the husband and the wife? The commitment to marriage, the commitment to make the commitment, that is the critical component, and that's what we learn out from Maimon Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. I think that this really mirrors something I heard from Rav Rosenzweig in 1993. Right, it was beautiful. We learned Ksubis in Yeshiva that year. He said over a shir that was something that was so beautiful. We know that there's a Masechta in the middle of called Daf Yomi now called Ksubis, and we know that there's something that are signed before the marriage. As a matter of fact, I was zochet to sign Ben's Ksuba. Right? Am I right, Ben? Not that Ben. I think it was me and Bagels. But I think I did. Because I got there in time because I had to miss the end of my kid's little game. You don't forget things like this. Anyway.
I know you signed it, wouldn't you?
I signed it, right? So I signed it. And the Gemara tells us, why do we have a ksuba? The Gemara ksuba staff yod aleph, whether it's derais or derabanan. But the Gemara gives the reason. The Gemara says, shalot hekala be'ein of lahos. So it shouldn't be easy in the man's eyes to divorce her, right? So what's the simple understanding of this? You come home from a long day of work, and your wife gives you dinner, and she burns the food. So you're going to say, oh, that's it, I divorce you. But, you would do that, but since there's a ksuba, and it's very expensive, forget it. That's the simple understanding of it. But that's a very reactive way of understanding what the ksuba is all about. So Rosenzweig, based on a number of writers, which I'm not going to bring up now, but he says that's not what the ksuba is. The ksuba is very different. When do we sign a ksuba? Before the marriage. When do we plan what's going to be in the ksuba before the marriage? Why do we do it before the marriage? Because, why do people get married? So, you're going to say, listen, I saw this person, my friend just got married, and you know what, the wedding was like a lot of fun, a lot of people dancing, you got a lot of gifts, so why not? I'll get married also. Slow down, cowboy. Look at the ksuba. Look at what you are committing to. What's the purpose of the ksuba? Shalote kala be'ein of lozer. She shouldn't be light in your eyes if you get a divorce. You shouldn't go into a marriage flippantly. When you enter into a marriage, it has to be entering in all in. That's what Rabbi Kanadetsky said to me today. It's got to be all in. And if you're all in, then that can make the marriage successful. But the second you're going into a marriage, one foot in, and as a trial, it's over before it started. You got to know that the other person that you're in this relationship with, that the two of you together are all in together. And therefore, when the other person has a problem, it's not their problem, it's your problem. It looks a very different focus. Not what am I putting up with this for, but rather, how could we together rectify this? It's a commitment to be together and to work on things together. It's a commitment that whatever happens, you know, they say in the in all the movies or whatever it is, through thick and thin, through, you know, until death, right? But unfortunately, that becomes just words. But what Maimon Har Sinai told us that the relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael was a permanent relationship, and there's nothing that anybody could do to end that relationship. And that being the paradigm for all relationships has to be the paradigm for our relationships, namely that we're all in. And that the second one stops being all in is the second that all marriages are almost destined for failure. So we should look at Klal Yisrael, we should look at Kabbalah Satorah as the ultimate paradigm for what our marriages should be. And here's Hashem, as we get ready for Shavuos, and we see that relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and us as a beautiful relationship that should motivate us to work on all of our relationships and be all in that. Have a gewaldig day. careful. Before we start, the fire will not be saved. Careful.